Well, hello there, and welcome to my almost midlife crisis. I'm your host, Jennifer Mathis. This podcast is about that time in your life when things you liked when you were younger are now considered old school, yet you don't feel old school. Well, most of the time. In case you've been living under a rock, a new season of Sex and the City came out on HBO Max last week, and as an elder millennial, it pretty much means that Christmas came early. This show to millennials is what Happy Days was to boomers, so it seems only fitting to talk about it, or at least the first two episodes this week. So spoiler alert, if you have not watched it yet, first of all, you need to go get on that. But second, maybe hold off listening to this episode until you do so. So if you love Sex and the City like I do, then this one's for you. But seriously, only after you've seen it. So I normally don't review shows on this podcast, although honestly I could because I watch a shocking amount of TV. I do not know how I have the time to fit it in, but you would be surprised. Some of my current favorites are Succession, love it, Morning Show, obsessed, Curb Your Enthusiasm, don't even get me started, and MTV Challenge. Yeah, I still watch The Challenge, and I have seen every show of every season. I've now even gotten Christian hooked to it. And I'm even watching Challenge All Stars because at this point, I feel like I genuinely know these people, and therefore I need to see them on every show they're on. And those don't even scratch the surface, by the way. I watch way more, but out of all the shows I have ever watched, Sex and the City is by far my favorite. But why? Well, first of all, the character development in the show is great, especially Samantha's character, because think about it. When the show started, they portrayed her just as this like shallow, promiscuous woman and the one that would pretty much just drop F-bombs and say shocking things, right? But as the seasons went on, her character, like, it really evolved and it grew like a real person would, right? Like, we all evolve as time goes on, hopefully. She had so much depth. She had layers. And that's why she was my favorite character. She was, like, misunderstood, but she was also upfront and honest. But what's fascinating, and one of my theories on why women love this show so much, is that while we can all say which character we relate to the most, like, there's always that question, like, are you a Samantha or are you a Carrie? The reality is D, all of the above. Every single woman has a portion of each character in them and therefore can relate in some way to all four main characters. Like, you have Charlotte, you have the hopeless romantic that's also a perfectionist and always tries to see the best in others. You have Miranda, the career-orientated woman who at some point realized that she wanted to have it all, family and kids, but in her own way and without giving up what's important to her. You have Samantha, the sexual being that lives life to the fullest, both in love and with friends. She's authentically herself, no matter if you like her or not, and has that type of confidence that you either have or you strive to have. And then you have Carrie, the goofy, a little lost, and sometimes awkward overthinker that has a fabulous wardrobe and shoes. I mean, let's be honest, we would all die for. All of us can see a part of ourselves in each of these characters. And I dare you to name another show that can actually do that successfully. So for this elder millennial, the news that my favorite show was coming out with a new season was like unwrapping the first Christmas gift of the year. And to my surprise, it was actually more than I expected. I mean, let's be honest. My expectations were pretty low on this one. I mean, I would have never missed it. It's like Fast and Furious. Like, how many of them are there? Is it like 54 at this point? And you even had some of their characters are no longer around, and yet they're still just cranking them out. And there's people, I mean, I don't know who, but people still watch them. And they're still going to watch like number 55 when it comes out. And they're going to be excited about it. That's Sex and the City. Sex and the City has so many seasons, it has multiple movies. And honestly, they could be doing episodes when these women are in their 90s and my ass would still be watching it. I heard a lot of chatter before it came out talking about how the cast was looking older and disappointed that Kim Cattrall wasn't involved, the beloved Samantha. And the sheer fact that Samantha wouldn't be involved did give me a little bit of pause, but I wanted to see it for myself. Like, there was no way I wasn't going to watch it. So, okay, before we get into it, last warning, I'm going to jump into the first two episodes. So if you haven't seen it, this is where you need to hit pause and you need to come back. Okay, don't say I didn't warn you. I don't want to hear about it. Okay, so premiere night. First of all, I had a girlfriend over because Sex and the City is, I mean, it's always good to watch. Like, I will watch it. If it is, it's one of those where if you're scrolling through their your guide, yes, I am an elder millennial. Therefore, I still have cable and I still have a guide and I use it. Okay. I also have like every other streaming service except Disney Plus. I have not gone down that route yet. I'm sure it's on the horizon, but yes, I still have a guide. So even if you're like scrolling through the guide and you see a Sex and the City is on syndication on TBS, like, you know, you're still stopping and watching that shit. And you've seen this episode a million times. Like, you can say it word for word and you're still going to stop and watch it. So I will always watch it, even if I'm by myself. But let's be honest, it's also one of those shows that's always better when you watch it with girlfriends. Like, it's always better. So, you know, and she came over, and why I wanted to talk about it on this podcast is that it almost felt like they had taken multiple of my past episodes and then like did a show around them. Like, my first episode was called To Botox or Not to Botox. And I talked about the perils of getting older and how to deal. Like, do you dye your hair when you start to go gray or do you get Botox? Both of these topics came up within the first 10 minutes of the show. Like, Miranda was sporting a full head of gray hair this season. And Charlotte, unfortunately, has fallen to the trap of too much work done. So in the opening scene at lunch, Charlotte encourages Miranda to dye her hair so she's not gray when she goes back to school and she can appear younger. And spoiler, she doesn't, and she sticks with it. But it gave her then this like sense of insecurity later because it was brought up. And I will say, Miranda is pulling off that gray. Like, girl looks great. And honestly, she's aged really well. Her response to Charlotte was around her Botox and how she does dye her hair to try to like never age. And I have to say, I love Charlotte. I've always thought that she was beautiful. But she has gone too far with the Botox and the fillers and whatever else she's gotten done. It's honestly, like, I just kept looking at her. I was like, it's a little sad because she clearly felt like she needed it, but I think she would have looked better without it. And I really hate to say that. It sucks and I feel bad for her. I mean, don't get me wrong. I am not one of those people that's against getting work done. In fact, between the time of my first episode and now, I did finally go in for my first Botox and filler appointment, and I actually have another one tomorrow to re-up. Christian is not thrilled about it, and he rolls his eyes whenever I go in, but it's my face, and it's my face, it's my choice. So in his defense, he is concerned that I'm going to turn out like Charlotte or like a Real Housewife, except Emily from OC, because she's amazing. And yes, now Charlotte is one of those examples of what not to do. But Carrie and Miranda, they are looking older. Yes, they're definitely looking older, but it's because they are. I mean, they're in their 60s. Like, it's kind of ridiculous that anyone out there is talking about how they look older. I mean, yeah, no shit. Like, what is the expectation exactly? They're going to look like they did 20 years ago? Like, the show came out in the 90s, people. It's 2021. I'd have a huge problem, actually, if they didn't look older. I mean, you can't have it both ways. Like, do you want to celebrate women aging and their natural mature beauty, or do you want them to defy nature and to try to live up to the impossible standard for the rest of their lives? And yes, coming from someone that does get a little something done, I do realize that there's a fine line between natural beauty and a little support through the years from your local physician. But no matter which way you choose, don't shame women if they look older, okay? They are supposed to. That's called life and nature. And you know what? They're still beautiful. Like, if I could look at Sarah Jessica, like, if I could look like Sarah Jessica Parker when I'm in my 60s, like, thank you. Please. I hope that's the case. Also, can I have her body when I'm in the 60s? Like, what the hell? Like, she's more fit than I am. And she's like my mom's age. Anyway, then we have the role of Peloton this season. So if you listen to this podcast or you know me, you know I am obsessed with my Peloton. And what I thought was interesting and pointless was that they used the brand Peloton, like they said Peloton, and it was the Peloton bike, yet they changed the name of the Peloton instructor and made her from Spain. Like, it would be one thing if they didn't use the brand name, right? Like, if they just made up a bike name and therefore they couldn't use Jess Sims' real name. But they did. They said Peloton. So why bother? It seems like a really small detail, but I get really annoyed when shows or movies change these like small details for no reason at all. Like making her from Spain did nothing more for the story than leaving her as she is. And I'm sure you didn't pay Peloton less or her less for her appearance. So seriously though, why? Anyway, I digress. But outside of that, to use my beloved Peloton as the cause of Mr. Big's death? Like, how dare you? Like, I do like, though, how a couple scenes later in Miranda and Steve's conversation, which also, by the way, Big and Steve look almost the same as they did, like, in the last season. So damn them, not fair, but they look almost the same. Add a little gray salt and pepper, but, like, it was pretty close. But Miranda and Steve's conversation pointed out clearly that the bike didn't cause his death. And that made me laugh because as an ad person, it made me wonder if that was like in the contract between Peloton and the show. Like you can use the bike, but you have to mention that it didn't cause his death. But like, come on, Mr. Big dies. Like what the hell? After everything they've been through, they survived a pandemic. He left her at the altar and now he dies. While working out, come on. Can I say though, my friend and I were in full tears during the scene at the and the funeral scene. Like considering how much Christian works out, my first thought was, oh my God, like if that ever happened to me and I walked in after being out with friends to find him like that is seriously my worst nightmare for sure. Another big conversation was how the show dealt with Samantha's departure. So there were three times Samantha was mentioned during the show. So two were an attempt to give insight as to why she wasn't there. There's a huge siren going by. So sorry about that in the background. Nothing I can do about it. I live in Chicago, so that's my life. I barely even hear it anymore, but anyway. So there were three times Samantha was mentioned. Two were an attempt to give insight as to why she wasn't there. Well, how the show wanted to portray that she wasn't there, because we all know the reason why she wasn't there. So insight number one, she moved to London and they drifted apart. Insight number two, she was upset with Carrie that she no longer was her publicist and it ruined the friendship. Which by the way, I don't know if anyone caught the one line in the show where, when Carrie and Miranda were talking, about Samantha and how she, you know, when she fired her from being her publicist, that's like, was the end of the relationship. And Carrie's line of, you know, as soon as I wasn't her paycheck, she left or something in regards to a paycheck. I'm not going to quote it exactly. Go look it up if, you know, you want the exact quote. But basically how Carrie was Samantha's paycheck, which like, is that not just feel like a little too on the nose for like Sarah Jessica Parker to be saying that. Like, I don't know. That was like the one piece where I was like, ouch. I wonder how Kim Cattrall feels about that line in the show. But anyway, that's kind of, you know, they kind of glossed over it. Like it was this falling out and they all miss her, whatever. And then at the end, they had Samantha give a massive bouquet of orchids that were sitting atop of Mr. Big's coffin during his funeral. And you had people online like, what a good friend. Like, what a good friend. No, a really good friend would have flown in for that damn funeral. Like that is your best friend of like 20 some years. And maybe you had a falling out, but like, bitch that came that they weren't hanging out and she came and like said she forgave Carrie and no one even remembers like why she was mad at Carrie. Okay. Like, was that the woman from when she had the baby shower? Like, I don't even remember exactly what that woman's role was, but like she came to the funeral and like your best friend from like 20 years sends flowers and doesn't get on her out of her ass on a plane from London to come. Like, no, actually not a good friend then. Granted, there's no way they could have got her to come because she didn't decide to do the show. But like, if this was real life, sending flowers when your husband unexpectedly dies, is not actually a good friend. Like, I just want to like lay that groundwork for any of my friends that are listening. Like, if Christian were to unexpectedly die, like, your ass better be in Chicago for that. Okay. And vice versa. Like, I would totally show up for you, but not a good friend. Anyway, that was a tangent. no, but really, she would have flown in. The conversation around Samantha really reminded me of my podcast episode 16, More Than Facebook Friends, because as we get older, like, relationships change as we get older, even with those that you thought were going to be your best friend forever. And it's sad. It's sad, but that's life sometimes. So while I was sad that Samantha was not in the show, it almost made it more realistic that she wasn't, because it's so rare to have multiple best friends last 30 years. Like, that almost never happens. So, I mean, if you've done it, congrats. I'm getting close, but I mean, you're lucky if that's happened, but it's not common. And so therefore, I kind of appreciate the way that they played it off. Lastly, two random thoughts about the episode. First, Miranda bringing the wine in her purse to the kids' piano concert. You know, while Charlotte may have scoffed at it, I loved it. I mean, hell, that's going to be me. Okay. Why do they have kids' events that parents have to join that don't serve alcohol? Like, just because the kids can't drink doesn't mean the parents don't want to. And I'm sorry, but like, sitting through hours, like, I 100% agree with her. Like, sitting through hours watching children play the piano when, you know, not all of them are as good as Charlotte's kid. Okay. Like, the first kid, for example. I mean, there are some painful moments in that. And you want adults to sit there sober? Like, I don't think so. I love that she just pulled it out of her purse. Like, that's one of the greatest things as you get older. Like, you just get more resourceful. You're like, I know that I am not going to want to sit. Or maybe it's like, you know yourself more. Like, I know I'm not going to sit there for 2.5 hours and not have a damn glass of wine. So I'm just going to bring it myself. Like, that's life experience right there, coming out in spades. And you don't even care what other people think. You're like, I know what I'm going to need to get through this, and I'm going to take care of myself. Like, I appreciate that. Second, how sad is it that Mr. Big died when Carrie was wearing her wedding shoes, those gorgeous, gorgeous blue Manolo Blahniks? I actually considered getting those for my own wedding. They were going to be like my something blue, and I wanted to have like my very own Sex and the City moment. And I was like, you know, if I'm ever going to spend some obnoxious amount on shoes, because like, I love shoes. It's definitely like, I have way too many pairs. I love them. I love how like, women's shoes is like this never ending spectacle. Like, you could wear the most boring outfit and you have a fabulous pair of shoes, and all of a sudden you're stylish. Like, it changes the entire look. And it's not like when you go to the guy's shoe store and you're like, okay, you want brown shoes, you want blue shoes, you want not even blue. I mean, you got, it's like brown, black, white, gray. Like, congrats. Here you go. You go to the women's section and it's like just actually best shoe shopping I've ever seen in my life is in the Dubai Mall. There is a shoe garden, and imagine like walking through a magical garden, like in a Midsummer's Night dream, but it's all filled with the most beautiful designer shoes, like hanging from the ceiling, like in bird cages, like in plants. Like, I mean, just the most beautiful designer shoes, none of which you can afford, but you just walk through this like amazing dreamlike state of shoes. It is phenomenal. You got to go. I mean, it's like when they were talking about masturbation and orgasm in the show, I was like, that would be like a form of masturbation for me, would be walking through the shoe garden in the Dubai Mall. Like, it just brings you so much pleasure. Anyway, that was a tangent I wasn't expecting. So she's in her blue Manolo Blahniks. I tried to buy these. I don't know if you've ever tried on Manolo Blahniks, if you've ever just gone into a store and tried them on. Like, I went into a Nordstrom and I was like, I want to try a pair of these blue. They actually had my size, which I have big feet. I have size 10. So like, they never have my size in designer shoes, but they did. I tried a pair on, and the second my foot got into the shoe. In that split second, I had immediate shooting pains in my feet. Like, I don't have wide feet, okay? I don't buy the size that has the W on them in shoes. I have normal feet, okay? They might be large, but I have normal feet. But whose feet fit into these comfortably to do what we see Carrie do in the show? Like, I don't understand. Either she has very small feet or they actually make a specific custom pair for her, because in real life, these shoes are a beautifully made hell for your feet. Like, it is just pure hell. And actually, when I tried them on and I immediately winced in pain, I looked over at the sales guy and he was like, yep, that's normal reaction. I'm like, who buys these shoes? Anyway, if that was the first two episodes, I cannot wait for the rest. I just wish they would release them all at once so I could binge them and I don't have to wait for the next one. Out of everything that happened in the first two episodes, what I loved the most about the new Sex and the City season is how it was realistic. Like, there was these three women who have been friends for almost 30 years. It was their lives now and not them trying to relive their younger years. It was their relationships now, not their relationships as they were in their 30s. It showed the real struggle of being a woman and coming to terms with aging. It showed how, as you get older, sometimes you struggle to see where you fit in. And sometimes you don't feel as fabulous as you did 20 years ago. But it also showed that no matter your age, you can still be fabulous. You can maintain true friendships that are honest and supportive. And while you've evolved in a lot of ways, sometimes you're still just the girl sneaking a bottle of wine into a show, and you wouldn't have it any other way. Thanks so much for listening today. I would love to hear your take on the first episode, so feel free to comment on my Instagram and Facebook or within my blog at myalmostmidlifecrisis.com. Until next time.